This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Jungle Deep, the podcast that explores the tropical lifestyle. Hello, and welcome to the podcast, Jungle Deep. This is your host, Dr. Jones. We are on safari, and I'm here with you to learn, to have fun, and to explore the jungle. Hello and welcome to today's special episode. We are going to visit with the one I call the real Tarzan of Africa, the amazing DeWitt Du Toit. I call him the real Tarzan of Africa because he does live in Africa, and much of the time he lives as Tarzan lived, in the jungles, climbing trees, diving off waterfalls, and cavorting with elephants and pythons. This Tarzan is complete with gorgeous muscles, a stylish loincloth, and a love for wildlife. This guy is the real deal. It's taken me months to arrange, but we finally get to talk to this modern-day Tarzan. DeWitt is an actor determined to play Tarzan in the next live-action film. He is also a filmmaker and excellent at internet marketing, too. He is a man who, against all odds and occasional ridicule, is following a dream. I believe DeWitt's steadfast loyalty to his dream can be an inspiration to all of us. Right now, we are connected to DeWitt in Africa, and we are going to explore his dream, his life, and get to know today's Tarzan.
We'll be right back, right after these messages. Stay tuned.
Put on a perfectly possum pet party. Having an awesome birthday or adoption day celebration for your four-legged friend? Or just want a fun excuse to throw a fun party with your friends from the dog park? Deck out your party with Molly and Bandit Pet Party Accessories. Party products designed specifically for pets. There are wearables, including adjustable pet party hats, bow ties, and tutus. The photo prop kits include funny glasses and hats. The party supplies and decorations include coordinating table covers, party banners, cake decorations, and treat bowls, cups, and bags. Everything you need to create great memories and Instagram-worthy photos. They're available in two colorful themes, Tropical and Fireman. It's a dog's life. Celebrate it with Molly and Bandit Pet Party at mollyandbanditpetparty.com/petlife.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Today we are talking with DeWitt Du Toit, the actor portraying Tarzan in South Africa. And DeWitt, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. I can hear you.
Very good. I'm pleased to have you join us today. We're anxious to learn about, well, all about you. You're doing amazing things and you're sharing it with the world. I think it's very inspirational, the kinds of things you're doing, the commitment you have to this dream of yours. You also show real ability and finesse and professionalism with your use of new media, that is audio and video on the internet, using social media outlets like Facebook and YouTube. You're doing an excellent job with that too. And I think we can learn a lot from you as an example. And we're wondering how do you do all these things? But before we get into the meat of that, tell us, DeWitt, a little bit about your background. Where are you from and what is your nationality?
I first want to say thanks for having me. It's really appreciated. Yeah, well, like I said, I'm in Africa, but in the lower part of South Africa, which is nowadays Cape Town, but I actually come from George. I'm born in South Africa, but I moved around to Namibia and Botswana, you know, having grown up on game farms along with my twin brother. Yeah, I like it very much in South Africa, and I think it's a great way to portray the African wilderness through films and media.
And how about your family? Can you tell us a little bit? Your father was an inspiration for you, was he not?
Yeah, sure, that's right. My father was a conservationist almost all his life. So I think that's actually where it started, because all my life we grew up on farms and between animals and the wildlife and the whole conservation thing, you know. So I think from there on it just keep going and evolving into something much bigger. And my mother was also all the way along, you know, because she's actually a teacher. They also supported me all the way. And my twin brother, Rudolph, he's also been, you know, my sidekick, as you can call it.
A twin brother. So there's two of you.
And twins.
Wow. So you grew up, your mother was a teacher and your father was a conservationist, and you grew up in South Africa. And I presume you grew up around some exotic animals down there. And along the way, you got inspired by Tarzan. When did you first hear about Tarzan? And when did he kind of become a focus for you in your life?
Well, that was about, I think I was 6 years old. We actually were in Namibia by that time. I actually started way back. My dad was on school. He was collecting the books of Tarzan and all the comics. So when he grew up, he was like 40 years old. He introduced the comics to us when we were 6 years old. So every night he would show, listen, son, look at this, look at this. So he was watching all the comics. And I was, since then, I was always fascinated by the Tarzan character, you know, because he was much different. He didn't have superpowers like Batman and Superman. He was a normal guy, but he had all the possibilities and attributes, which was different than all the magic and all that stuff that most of the modern day characters had. Yeah.
Right? It was a little more real, a little more realistic.
Yeah, it was more realistic, and he had a way to work with animals and nature in a hostile environment. You know, he's not in a city life where everything is easy. He had to cope with the natural surroundings, everything, and at the end of the day, he came at the top. He's actually the king of the jungle, so he can actually organize and live and everything in the jungle without being, you know, lay down and die, if you can say that.
Well, now, DeWitt, you're a 25-year-old young man, is that right, 25?
Yes, I'm 25, turning 26 in March.
And you started this campaign to be Tarzan how many years ago?
Well, that was about, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. Actually, I always, since 6 years old, I always loved the character, but I think after high school, we left South Africa, we went to the UK, to London for a year, just to get experience and, you know, just see the world. And that actually struck me when I was there, you know, after school. I think I was 19 years old, 20 years old. I thought, yes, to make a new Tarzan movie, that would be something new. And I checked the internet, and the internet's saying, wow, you know, Hollywood is planning a new movie. And I hope just this time they must choose the right actor, the right guy who's really a real-life Tarzan, not just an actor. But the story keeps going and going, it's not going anywhere. I thought, yes, why should I try for it, you know? So I think from there, and I thought, I'm going to make a go for it.
Wow. And you are an actor. Have you had some formal training in acting?
Yes, I have. I have formal training, and also a lot of experience, because we have been on all film shoots, you know, filmmaking and movies. They made a lot of international movies now these days in Cape Town, especially. That's where we actually moved to Cape Town. So almost every day, every week, we're on film sets, having experience in acting and everything, you know. So
wow. And Rudolph, your brother, he's an actor as well, right?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, he's actually recently been chosen on a big TV series called Black Sails. It's produced by Michael Bay. So this is really a really big thing. It's an international movie. It's going to be shoot for at least 5 months in Cape Town. So he's on that project right now.
Oh, terrific. Is he acting in that, or is he in production?
Well, he's one of the stand-ins for the lead actor.
I see.
Toby Stevens.
Well, you both seem to, you work together on a lot of this stuff, right?
Yes, that's right. You know, I think it's better to work together, you know, because there's an African proverb that says, if you want to go quick, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. So I think if you go together, you can do much more things, you know, if you can make the effort compact, you know, so you help each other in this way and that way instead of going alone through life.
Well, I'm guessing that it was through your acting that you learned about production, about shooting videos and photography and that kind of thing. Is that true?
Yes, yeah, that's true. I think also it's a thing that developed actually because it's a passion, you know, because there's other people that goes and study something, but it's not really from his heart that he want to do. He's just doing it, you know, but there's other people that really, it's really a passion for him, and he learns just by watching movies. You can learn yourself. You can go to the library and you know, study books about our filmmaking. You can go out into the field and try it. You know, do it yourself.
Yes.
That's one of the big things. I actually learned myself a lot.
You did a lot of self-teaching.
Yeah, self-teaching. I go into the field. I do films. All right, next time I have to change that or that. Make it better this time, you know.
And then where did you learn how to use the internet and social media the way you do?
Well, that's actually a good one because, you know, all my life growing up on farms, you know, I never was very interested in technology and behind computers and everything. But I think by the time we came back from England, I checked on the internet and saw Tars. And so I thought, you know, it's not like the old days where you have to get yourself from one country and then talk to the guys. Today, the whole world is connected just by the internet. So I thought, all right, a great way to get myself out there, to get exposure, is to put myself on the net. So from there on, I had to learn everything on the computer. I went to the internet cafe every day and putting up everything I can.
So you're saying you self-taught yourself about the internet, about using social media too?
Yes, that's right. Nobody actually taught me. And a lot of guys actually in my hometown came to me, businessmen, and they asked, well, I must teach them about, you know, marketing, and because I, this way I've marketed myself in a wide prospect, you know, of getting myself into a lot of things by different ways. And then I thought, yes, why should business people tell me that? I mean, I'm just a normal guy doing what I'm doing. But yeah, it's just, you know, I try to different ways just to get myself out there, because if you're not seen, nobody's going to know about you.
Well, that's true, and the internet provides us a lot of terrific ways to get ourselves and our message out there to the world, especially audio and video, audio like podcasts and video. Internet television is becoming a very big thing and is really the future for television, I'm sure. So you've kind of beat them there. You're there already. You've been there for, I think, a couple of years you've been on the internet, right?
Yeah, that's right. I think it's like 3-4 years now.
Well, the quality is such, and especially the photographs that I've seen, I've been taken with, I just assumed you had some company behind you. There's somebody, you know, helping to market you because it's just very professionally and beautifully done.
Yeah.
You're saying you and your brother are doing this yourselves?
Yeah, most of the things, I would say 90% of things that, you know, we do ourselves, you know, all the filmmaking and photos and everything. Recently, the latest photo shoot I did was, we had a guy that just helped us with the photo editing, you know, make it a bit more glamorized and a little bit of the lighting and all that stuff. But all the effort and the creativity and everything we come forward, you know, the filmmaking and the photos, everything, everything is done by us.
Well, very well done. You have obviously talent in this area as well. It looks great. Personally, I've produced a television show myself, so I know what's involved. And just editing is a field, a specialty unto itself. Editing video can be very complicated and sophisticated these days, even though the technology, well, it gives us a lot more options and gives us ability to be more creative, but it's also, there's just a lot of detail to learn. So you're so good with what you do on your own. I can't wait to see what you do when you get some people helping you and working for you on this stuff. It's going to be awesome.
I agree, man. I think also of the whole filmmaking process, I would say the editing is the most difficult and the most important, because you can actually make or break your film, because the editing is to get the best shots at the right time. That's the most important.
I agree with you. I think editing is the most challenging and the most important. It's where a film's really made. And not that other things aren't important too, but boy, editing is an important specialty. You guys are doing a great job. Let's move away from media for the moment and talk more about Tarzan. When I first viewed your videos, and this was about a half year ago, I think, on YouTube, I was so impressed with this young man who obviously had a very deep commitment to a dream of his. And you spoke of your dream on the YouTube website, I believe. Why don't you tell us in your own words what that dream is?
I said the dream is for me to be in the next Tarzan, and it's not just, like I said, to be a normal actor, because there's a lot of actors, you know. And there's also lots of different reasons for people to become actors. You know, some people to hide themselves, other to, you know, express themselves and show themselves. And I just, for the Tarzan movie especially, I don't just want to be another actor. I want to be a real-life Tarzan, you know, doing the real thing. That's why I actually went into the jungle and the forest many times a week to experience and to relive the actual experiences that's needed, you know, to get that sense of satisfaction of, you know, you've been there, I've done that. It's not just like an actor being in a studio and say, oh, you know, I acted the part. There's also a lot of different aspects and views and opinions I want to express in the Tarzan movie, not just being a glamorous movie, but, you know, to raise awareness, especially in the wildlife and the environmental aspects, to show people, you know, what's happening these days in the world and what should be done. That's actually one of my big things in the movie, is not just to make a movie, but to show great awareness in the movie.
Do you have an idea of where this inspiration to become the next Tarzan really came from? I know you said you thought of it, you know, in your late teens. You certainly heard about Tarzan in your childhood. Were there role models in your youth, some childhood hero that inspired you along these lines? Or was it just simply the Tarzan character that captured you?
Well, it's actually maybe a few things, you know, but most of the things is from my deep in myself. But I would say, you know, apart from my father, who's been in the conservation, he's a good role model to me, you know, someone to look up to, especially apart from him, it would be the Tarzan character. But actually, I would say also, I was also introduced at a young age to bodybuilding legend Arnold Schwarzenegger because of his physicality, and he used his bodybuilding to get into the movie business, and then he made an empire, whatever you call it.
That makes sense.
He was also a bodybuilder, and so I thought, all right, I'm also going to go for bodybuilding. We also did a lot of competitions, me and my brother. We also placed like always in the top 3-4 in the show. But then from there on, you know, the Tarzan thing was picking up. So I thought, all right, a great way to combine acting and bodybuilding would be Tarzan, because Tarzan is physicality and a little bit acting. And if you put that into a jungle, then you have Tarzan characters. So I think it's a great way to get the film thing started.
Yes, that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
So what did you feel, in order to achieve this dream, to achieve this goal, you had to do some things, you had to make some changes. One of them was to get familiar with the jungle, but to spend time there. And I think I read somewhere that you were spending half of every week out in the wilds, living the life of Tarzan so that you could become the real thing. Did I understand that right?
Yes, that's right, sir. The thing is, like I said, I wanted to experience the real thing, you know. So going to the jungle, not knowing what to expect, you know, maybe you sleep in a tree or something, that's something much more out of this world, you know, because most actors doesn't do that, you know, he's just an actor.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
In addition, you had to get familiar with various kinds of wild animals. You apparently felt you had to build your body, so you took up bodybuilding.
Yep.
And you had to learn social media so you could let the world know what it is you were doing. And it looks to me like you went after every one of those things and have achieved a lot. You're doing a really great job at all those things. It's pretty impressive. I'm inspired by your activity and your achievements.
Yeah, that's actually a new thing that happened also, you know. It's one thing to have a body that looks like a bodybuilder, you know, but the other way, to be Tarzan, you know, you must know how to use the body, to utilize it. So that's why I went to the jungle, because now you have the stocky body, you know, so how are you going to utilize it like a Tarzan character? You have to be more athletic and agile. So swimming in the rivers, climbing trees, all that stuff was more new challenges, you know, and your body also adapts to all those new environments, you know. So I think I became more agile and athletic, you know, using the jungle to build my body as well.
Yeah, we have over here something that sounds kind of similar. It's called MoveNat. A Frenchman has created this philosophy of physical fitness that has to do with, frankly, moving and living like a Tarzan in the wild, in that a lot of running and jumping and climbing and carrying heavy objects and all these things in the natural environment to build up one's physique. That's kind of what you're doing there as well. Are you familiar with that particular movement?
Yeah, I've heard about something about that. I think I stumbled upon it on the internet, sawing something like all that running and all that stuff. So I have to get as soon as possible.
I should mention, for our listeners' benefit, we have a episode with a young man who is very familiar with that. It's one of our past episodes. I can't remember the number right now, but we do have an episode that talks on this subject further and has links to that kind of information.
You are listening to Jungle Deep.
We'll be right back right after these messages. Stay tuned.
What if you could protect the life of your cat with something so simple and affordable that you already use every day? Get ready for the evolution of kitty litter. It's Kitty Litter. Along with all the features you've come to expect from your kitty litter, Pretty Litter's patented and scientific formula will also monitor your cat's health and detect illnesses early while providing industry-leading odor control. Two kitty litters, same cat, same price. But there's one important difference. Pretty Litter reacts to your cat's waste by detecting health issues simply by changing color. And the key is that Pretty Litter detects these issues before your cat shows symptoms of physical illness or pain, likely saving you major dollars in vet bills while protecting the health of your cat. What do you think, little guy? Ready to switch litter? Pretty Litter. Colorful insight into your cat's health.
Go to prettylittercats.com/cat101 or use coupon code CAT101 to get 20% off your first subscription order.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Now, more of
Jungle Deep.
It has certainly occurred to me with the bodybuilding, I mean, you look fantastic. You look terrific. Probably one of the best built Tarzans we've ever seen. But you also need to be, as you said, supple and graceful and have the ability to climb trees and dive off waterfalls and all this kind of thing. So you really need to be a gymnast as well. Have you actually been focusing on some gymnastics, or is it just a bit kind of built in with the exercise you get out in the wilds?
Probably more in the wild. You know, I don't have any gymnastics at the moment, you know, professionally training like in gymnast or something. But like I said, I was spending much more time in the jungle, like the Tarzan character, in my loincloth. So instead of just walking normally, I try to walk like Tarzan, more cat-like, you know, climbing trees. And how would I jump from a tree to the ground? You can't just fall down. You have to land a certain way. You know, always in control. And then I also have a gorge. It's about like 10 feet deep and 10 feet wide. So every day, like 10 times a day, I would jump over that gorge, you know, to get that, the way of how to fall and to break, you know, the movement of the body, not just to fall flat and break your bones. Yeah. So waterfalls, I would swim, you know, in deep pools or waterfalls, ice cold water, not hot things, you know. I want to feel that adrenaline pumping, not going in slowly, I would jump in, you know, I would feel the rush to jump into ice freezing cold swimming pool. You know, that's fantastic.
If you say so.
Yeah.
I bet you have a lot of experience climbing trees as well.
Yeah, it's actually a thing I want to do, you know. I actually wanted to start a TV series, maybe climbing all the trees of the world, you know, like Bear Grylls. You know, it'd be something to climb. It's actually something you learn. There's different ways of climbing different trees, you know. People would say, oh, it's a tree, climb it. But there's different ways to climb certain trees, you know, so that's also very interesting.
Yeah, Mick Mittermaier was the young man that was on the show before talking about these kinds of things, and he personally is trying to promote what he calls free tree climbing, an official sport.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a lot of people apparently into tree climbing, and as you say, there's a lot of ways to climb different styles for different trees and so forth, and it's fantastic exercise. It's something that really calls back to our ancient heritage, doesn't it? So interesting. If I was young again, this is something I would be very inspired about. I would love to get into that sort of thing. What about, now we've talked about a lot of things as far as your athleticism. What about your diet? What do you do about diet?
Well, you know, to start off, me and my brother is very lucky, you know, to have this, the bodies we have. It's much more, you know, it's, what do you call it? It's, you know, we can actually basically eat anything we want, you know, in the picking up weight aspect. You know, I don't pick up weight that easily, because we have a high metabolism, you know, so I can eat almost anything, you know. Mostly, you know, I try to focus more on high carbs, high protein, you know, so I like to eat a lot of meats. I'm not scared of carbs, because I actually need a lot of carbs to build my body, you know, because you need a lot of carbs like rice, potatoes, and all that stuff. Certainly for Tarzan, we'd be only eating meat and fruits in the jungle, you know, so I'm also into that. You know, carbs is important along with meat.
You're lucky that you can do that, but of course you get so much exercise, you burn up all the carbs you take. that's for sure.
A lot of people came to me here, what should I eat? But I should start with a training. You know, I train so hard that, you know, no matter the eating.
Yes, yeah, I can understand that. What of all these things, the bodybuilding, the acting, the Tarzan lifestyle, handling of exotic animals, climbing trees, diet, all these things, what has been the hardest for you to do?
Well, you know, I would say, I think it's to stay in character, you know, that would be a few things like the jungle aspect and the training, everything, but the training is something I have in me, it's not something I do just for other people. There's a few things that I do for myself, and that's because I love it. So I would never stop training and never stop loving the conservation and the wildlife environment, but I think to stay in character and to try to utilize new ways to present yourself as a Tarzan character, and to get yourself out there, I would say probably the media. The media thing is for me the difficult.
Really? So the actual being in character as Tarzan, getting yourself into that mindset so that you can portray that realistically, you find that one of the hardest things to do?
Yeah, I think so, because, you know, Tarzan is a very difficult thing when it comes to social bonding or whatever, because I'm so much out in the jungle and the lifestyle, you know, I don't have time with friends or girlfriends, you know, I don't even have girlfriend at this moment because, you know, I'm spending more time with elephants and monkeys than with women, you know, so...
Not what most young men would want to do.
No, wouldn't want to do that, you know.
Again, another statement about your incredible commitment.
Everybody asks me, do you have a girlfriend? What's happening? I said, no, yes, no time for that, you know.
I got a feeling you've invested a lot into that, and someday you'll be able to take that investment out and enjoy a rich life. I think there'll be a lot of women for you coming up.
hopefully I can find my Jane one day.
Yeah. I think there's quite a few Janes out there that'll be after you before long. What about animal handling? Do you have a favorite animal that you've worked with, and how has that been for you? Are elephants okay? You don't seem to like pythons much. I've noticed you were pretty rough on a python, or actually an anaconda it was in one of your video.
Yeah, I think of all the animals, you know, I think the most difficult one was working with a woman. No, I was joking. No, I think of all the animals, I like the elephant the most, because there's something gracefully, there's something more mysterious about the elephant. It's also one of the biggest land animals in the world, and it's also something very powerful. There's something happening inside you when you're on top of the elephant and you're controlling the elephant left to right, move, stand up, sit down, kneel. You have this great feeling of, wow, you know, I'm on this elephant and I'm actually controlling this beast. It's a really great feeling. It's not like some small animal or monkey, it's an elephant.
Mm. A lot of strength and power there.
Yeah, sure, you know, because, you know, when I'm touching the elephant, you can feel the trunk and everything. It's very powerful, especially when you feed him. So a trunk is inserted in your hand. You can feel, you know, if something goes wrong, you're going out of this world, man.
Well, now tell me, I have it on excellent authority from a previous Tarzan, a retired Tarzan from Hollywood, that elephants are a little rough to ride. That is, when you're wearing nothing but a loincloth, that rough skin, there's a lot of rashes you can get from riding an elephant. Have you found that to be a problem?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. After filming, and I have all these rashes, you know, but because you don't wear any pants, it's only loincloth. And you won't believe the elephant, like you said, the skin is very thick and very, you know, there's small hair sticking out. Mm. It's like the bark of a tree, you know, so it's really tough. But, you know, I think I don't show it in the face because, you know, pain is temporary, film is forever, so you have to get through that, you know.
Well, you're tougher than I am. Yeah. I also heard that the actors in Hollywood have to use ladders to get on top of an elephant. Now, I can't believe Tarzan actually used a ladder to get on top of his elephant. Have you found ways to mount an elephant without a ladder?
Yeah, I think there would probably be two ways, you know. Actually, the one thing we do normally is the elephant stretch down, and then it's like kneeling on the grass or the ground or whatever, so you can get on by climbing onto its knee and then onto the back.
Or that's what I've seen before, so yeah, that works, huh?
And other guys can also assist you. You're putting his knee next to the elephant, you get on. Otherwise, you have to use a tree from the tree onto that elephant. That's also another thing.
Yeah, that seems pretty smart.
Yeah.
So an elephant is your favorite animal. What about that wrestling match with that anaconda? Now, I have to say one thing about that, being a bit of a wildlife buff myself and having quite a lot of experience with reptiles. You know, anacondas are South American snakes. I don't know how you found one in Africa.
Yeah.
They are very big, however.
Yeah, very big, man.
Yes, and you wrestled one extensively in one of your videos. Are you comfortable with the big snakes?
Well, that's actually the first time I handled that big snake, you know, because when I was making my film, I was thinking about something, you know, to be different, you know, than normal film. I thought, all right, I'm going to put a snake in, but I want a big one. So luckily, I had a snake park close by, and that the biggest snakes I have was a python and the anaconda. I think the anaconda was 6 meters, but the python was bigger and even longer than anaconda. So I thought, I actually want the biggest one, but the snake handler said, no, you can't give me the python. It's going to be fatal. But you gave me an anaconda of 6 meters, and luckily it was, you know, it was cold season, so the snake wasn't that lively and active. But still, my dad said, son, you know what you're doing, because this is very dangerous. You know, if the snake gets around you, especially your neck, which yes. I actually did perform, then it can be fatal.
Yes, they can be dangerous, even when they're so-called tame, when they're kept in captivity. I myself have kept several pythons, and I had an anaconda as well. I found the anacondas to be very nasty, just unstable. You can't trust them. They're very quick to get angry. It was smart of you to use a cold one to start with.
But it's also difficult because the snake handler has to be out of shot. Everybody's behind the camera, so you're alone with a live snake. It's not an animatronic or a puppet.
Right.
Yeah, so everybody's behind. I'm going like knee deep into the water and action, and the snake is around me. So it's very difficult. I just try to get it done. You know, as long as the snake doesn't bite me, then all can go. You know.
So would you do it again?
Yeah, I think so. We just need a bigger snake this time.
Bigger snake. You do look for trouble, don't you?
Well,
those big ones can, yeah, indeed. When they get that big, they can be dangerous and should never be taken lightly. And you should always have people standing by just in case you get in trouble.
Yeah, sure.
Plenty of people. But on the other hand, I have to say they can be very tame and wonderful creatures. Some of my favorite animals have been giant snakes, frankly. They can be very nice, but you have to know the individual animal, and you have to have some experience with these animals. Anyway, it's a very exciting video clip, and I'm sure an exciting exercise for you.
Yes.
And your willingness to take on an even bigger one. You know, we do have digital effects for these things these days. I don't know that you'll have to do that necessarily, but...
I think next time we should go for CGI.
Yeah. Well, you're a brave young man, that's for sure. I think Hollywood could take it easier on you.
Yeah, I think so. I think we should consider that next time.
I'd like you to tell us a little bit more about your inspiration. You've done amazing things to great effect. Your use of social media seems really smart, and the quality of your video is terrific, and your photography is wonderful. Your bodybuilding's coming along really nicely. I've seen pictures of you kind of before and after, and it's just amazing what you've done. And, of course, you're sticking with this Tarzan character. That's rather unusual also. I don't know of anyone else doing this. And I've seen people on YouTube be very critical of your work. You know, they're probably kids. You find the very worst people making comments on YouTube. I think we all know that. But it must be a little discouraging from time to time with the way some people make fun of your effort. Does that ever get you down? Are you perturbed by that at all?
I thought, you know, at the start, I thought, you know, I'm going to take the critics, but I think it's actually a good way. That's also one of the things that help you with the media is criticism, because I try to take something out of it and make it better next time, just to show the people I will be better next time. So, but otherwise, it's like Louis L'Amour, the famous writer, said, I am somebody, I am me. I like being me, and I don't need anybody to make me somebody. So I don't have a problem dealing with the criticism. You know, everybody says, yeah, you won't make it. And when I started, a lot of people said, no, you won't make it. This is a problem. That's a problem. You know, you're from South Africa and all that stuff, you know, but I just kept going, kept my, you know, my focus ahead, all my goals and everything. I just kept going.
You've used this inspiration and this character to help communicate to others the importance of conservation. And as you know, Jungle Deep is about conservation. We focus specifically on the tropics. What do you want to convey to others? How are you using your hard work with your Tarzan character to convey to students the importance of conservation? What do you have to say about that?
You know, like I said, the youth of today is the future of tomorrow. So I think the children is very important to be educated, especially through entertainment. You know, we can call it edutainment if you like. So I think, you know, the Tarzan character of all the films that can be made, this one is the most relevant today regarding nature, because the whole film takes place in Africa or in the jungles and everything. So today also, it's a very big problem is the poaching. If things is going on like it's going on now, you know, we're going to have a lot of animals going extinct soon. So there should really something be done physically and immediately, because everybody's just saying, oh, we have this law and this law, but the poaching keeps going, you know. So what we can do about it is something we should really strive for. I also teach the children from young age that they should respect creatures, because a lot of people, they say, oh, it's animal, kill it or step on it or whatever. So if you can teach children from young age how to handle animals, especially, you know, in the wildlife also, in the nature and everything, don't just destroy the plants or like the deforestation is going on these days. The population is expanding these days so fast that one day we're not going to have anything left for our children to see. So what are they going to see in their future? So we have to do something drastically.
From what I've heard from you before, I believe this is a feeling that DeWitt has. It comes from your own heart. And it's a good message for Tarzan to have. So it sounds like that you feel that Tarzan has a place in this modern society. You know, Tarzan's 100 years old now. This youngest generation may be largely unfamiliar with Tarzan. Many of us grew up with him from the movies, but a lot of those movies are kind of old now, and we have a whole new generation growing up. And it sounds like you think Tarzan can play a role in the future with a conservation message.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Also, I have the story that I tell the children at the schools just to get everybody's attention. And that's always like, you know, it's a story I have from a native USA Indian. You know, one day he was walking with a man from civilization. You know, there was like in a hot, dry desert, walking long way. And they have a little bit of water left. And every time before the Indian drinks the water, that's all they have left. He spills a few water drops on the barren desert. And the civilized guy says, what are you doing? It's the only water we have left. And he said, oh, the way I'm doing this is just to show my respect toward nature, that before I drink it, I give the earth, Mother Nature, first. Just to say, you know, we are living on earth, we're using earth. This is just my respects, you know, like a token of appreciation for having water, even if it's less. This is what I have, you know. So, yeah, like I said, in the Tarzan movie, I have a lot of ideas to express, you know, all this globalization and all the mining and the anti-poaching and the deforestation. I want to bring that awareness into the movies, because the biggest thing these days is television movies. Everybody goes to the movies and see what's happening.
Well, that's terrific. I really enjoyed this conversation with you. I'm pleased to be able to bring your story to our listeners through Jungle Deep. And I'd like you to share with our listeners your contact information. How can people learn more about you and your project, your films, and your work online?
If you just Google me, you know, Davida Tawazin or Tawazin from South Africa, will be all over the internet. But otherwise, I have a Facebook page. You know, it's just Davida Toy. You know, I also have a fan page, so people can get connected there and always, you know, stay posted of, you know, all the latest happenings, what's going to be in the future. I'm also on YouTube. If people just, you know, type in YouTube my name, Davida Toy, everything will pop up there.
Now, for our younger listeners, let me spell that out because it's not a name familiar with some folks. That's Dewit Dutoy, and it's spelled D-E-W-E-T. D-U-T-O-I-T. And we'll have links for all of this on our show notes page on Jungle Deep. This episode will be up. You'll look for the episode about DeWitt, and we'll have all the links there, make it easy for you to connect with DeWitt and his videos. Well, DeWitt, I want to thank you for joining us today. I'm going to be watching you, keeping track of your progress. I hope we can do some work together in the future. I sure hope you'll come back and talk to us again and let us know what's happening.
Yeah, sure.
You're a real inspiration, I think, to young people everywhere. And I am very pleased to be able to take part in telling your story. It's just great work. Keep up the good work. We're all behind you.
Yeah, thanks a lot, sir. I just want to leave this message to the people in the world, and that would be like, you know, if anything really is to be done in this world, it should be done by visionaries. It's people who see the world and to see the future and make the future because they see it. It's been really an honor for me to have this conversation, sir. So I really appreciate all the time and effort you put together to have this happening.
Very good. Thank you, DeWitt.
Thank you for joining me on the podcast that provides both the science and the romance of the jungle, Jungle Deep. You will find on our Jungle Deep website the show notes page for this episode, number 25. Be sure to pay a visit because I have for you there a whole bunch of beautiful photographs of a very photogenic Tarzan and associated website addresses and links. The music credits will be found on the show notes page for this episode. Be sure to share Jungle Deep Podcast with your friends and coworkers. Contact me if you would like to reach our audience with your advertising message. Audience growth is especially important for Jungle Deep to succeed and prosper, so share the show. I invite you to email me at ken@jungledeep.org. I would love to hear your ideas for the show. Again, let me invite you to visit and like our Facebook page. It is maintained with all the up-to-the-minute news and announcements and great photos. Simply search for Jungle Deep Podcast. And follow me on Twitter. Search for Jungle Deep or KenJones56, all one word. This is your host, Dr. Jones. Well, the show's over for today, so it's time to refill my Mai Tai, mount my elephant, and head back into the jungle.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.